Welcome to the Political Cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist radio program. And here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the third and final hour of tonight's live broadcast of the award-winning Political Cesspool radio program. I'm your host, James Edwards. Eddie the Bombardier Miller in here co-hosting with me as we round out tonight's program. It's Saturday evening, June 18th. We're live, red hot and rolling from AM 1380 WLRM Radio in downtown Memphis, Tennessee, our flagship, but by no means our only affiliate station. We're also going out to the AM-FM affiliate stations of Liberty News Radio Network and simulcasting online tonight, as we do every Saturday night, from thepoliticalcesspool.org, our official internet headquarters, and libertynewsradio.com. We've spent the entire show last week and the first 2 hours of tonight's show talking about liberalism in the Christian church, most specifically cultural Marxism and liberal tendencies in the Southern Baptist Church, which is the core of the core of the Protestant denominations, and how upsetting it is to us. Folks, you don't have to urinate on your grandfather's grave to get into heaven. Don't listen to them. They're lying. They're wrong. We're going to cover different issues this hour. We're going to move on from the topic that we have been on for a show and a half, but in closing all that up, there was one more thing about this proclamation from the Southern Baptists, that this resolution that they passed saying that they should reach out to the illegal aliens, welcome them into their church, as if that was spiritually ordained. The final line says, resolve that we deplore any bigotry against any persons regardless of their legal status. What that means is, if you oppose illegal aliens, the Southern Baptists are calling you and me bigots. You're a bigot now, Eddie, to go to your own church and say that we should have a secured border. That is what the Southern Baptists are saying. They have lost their minds. Their churches will continue to dwindle. They will die on the vines. But anyway, we're not going to stay on that this hour. We've got to move on. So anyway, leave it to the Southern Baptists, or the modern incarnations of the Southern Baptists, to coin a new definition for bigotry. It's apparently opposition to amnesty for legal aliens. Well, this is what we're talking about. You know, this reminds me of a story, as I promised, we're moving on this hour to other stories. Up in, I believe it was Seattle, this was actually one of the scariest stories I ever read, and I posted it to the blog this week. You know, you're a racist if you're a white person. Racism is anything a white person does that liberals don't like. According to this new Southern Baptist Convention resolution, you're a bigot if you oppose amnesty for legal aliens. Well, you know, with all these modern-day definitions, you know, it's bound to start skewing the judicial process. Of course, it was black robe tyrants that ushered in most of this to begin with. But this story is one of the scariest things I've ever read. We had, there was a black guy up in Washington State in the Seattle area that was convicted of murder, only to have a higher court overturn the conviction because the judge thought that the original prosecuting attorney was a racist. Had nothing to do with whether or not this black fella committed the murders. It had everything to do with the fact that the judge thought that the prosecuting attorney in the original trial was a racist. And this is big news up in Washington. This story comes from the Seattle Times, and I read from it directly. The state Supreme Court has thrown out a man's murder conviction in a 2006 gang-related shooting, ruling that the prosecutor who tried the case resorted to racist arguments to attack defense witnesses.
Define racist.
Of course, they don't define what a racist argument is, but nevertheless, an 8-1 ruling by the Washington State Supreme Court found that James Conat, a veteran King County deputy prosecutor, engaged in prosecutorial misconduct in questioning witnesses during the trial of Kevin Munday, who was sentenced to 64 years in prison for murder. During his closing argument to jurors, this is what he said, Eddie, that was so racist. The defense prosecutor, who's a government prosecutor to begin with, said that white witnesses excuse me, that while witnesses denied the presence of such a code, this is what he said. The code is that black folk don't testify against black folk. You don't snitch to the police. Because he said that one sentence, that black folk don't testify against black folk, that you don't snitch to police. Everybody knows it's true, but because the prosecutor used that one sentence in his closing remarks, a state Supreme Court has let a convicted murderer go free. A convicted murderer. Ladies and gentlemen, are you listening to me? This is what we have to put up with everywhere we go, including now our own churches. This kind of flawed, psychopathic thought process. Because a prosecutor said that blacks don't testify against other blacks, that they don't snitch to the police. Because he said that one sentence, a convicted murderer is free. Convicted. He was convicted, not because of that sentence, but because of the facts. But then it goes up to a higher a court, and they say, well, he said that, he was racist, so therefore this guy must be innocent because the prosecutor said this one sentence. It appears as though, folks, you can now literally get away with murder if a judge believes that the lawyer prosecuting you is a racist. It doesn't matter whether or not you actually kill people. Eddie, this story blows my mind. We've been in this business for 7 years. We've been in this business doing this show for 7 years. 6 years ago, I thought I'd seen all that they could come up with, that I'd seen the limit of their craziness. But we haven't. Now, again, convicted murderer is free tonight over this because a prosecutor said that blacks don't snitch on other blacks, and he's free.
James, you know my background. You know I've told you many times, I've regaled you with the wonderful childhood I had growing up on the mean streets of South Memphis, where it was probably 98% black because my alcoholic dad left me there. My mother was gone by the time I was 8 years old, and I can tell you, What the prosecutor said is true. Everybody knows, especially people in Memphis, we live in the Black Belt, everybody knows that blacks do not snitch on blacks to whitey. They ain't going to turn against, they're not going to turn on their own against whitey. That's true. Secondly, James, I just wonder what would happen. The higher court that turned him loose, I wonder if they would think it was so racist, the prosecutor was so racist, if this murder had to happen to had a gut shot them and maybe paralyzed them from the waist down, or maybe shot one of their beloved daughters, or maybe threw a Molotov cocktail in their own house. I just wonder if he would think that then.
Well, we got a break coming up, Eddie. We'll have to leave that to the rhetorical questioning of tonight's broadcast. But nevertheless, listen, folks, you can't make this stuff up. It's so heinous that you'll only hear about it here on the Political Cesspool Radio program. This is what we're known for. This is the kind of truth and facts that we bring to your attention. We got a lot more coming up. We're going to try to get on some lighter stories. I mean, it's been so heavy and depressing the last couple of weeks here in the studio. We're going to try to give you some more craziness, but a lighter side of crazy if we can. We got to take a break. You're listening to James Edwards and Eddie the Bombardier Miller on the Political Cesspool Radio program. Stay tuned.
Guys, we'll be back right after these messages.
Don't let me be misunderstood.
Please don't understand me, baby.
Don't let me be misunderstood.
Don't misunderstand.
Jump in the political cesspool with James and the gang. Call us tonight at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
Welcome back, everybody. James Edwards, Eddie the Bombardier Miller here with you live Saturday night, June 18th. We spent a show and a half talking about liberalism in the church. We're getting off that kick this hour. We're going to talk about a variety of stories. We just told you about a convicted murderer set free in Washington State, all because the prosecuting attorney said that blacks don't snitch on other blacks. This is what we got to put up with today. Quick story out of Staten Island, New York. Then we're going to take a call. Then I'm going to tell you something about Winnie the Pooh. Told you we'd get on the lighter side of crazy tonight. A Staten Island ex-con was charged with beating his wife's small dog to death because it used the bathroom in their apartment, authorities said. It was too bad that this dog went in El Paso, Eddie. It's legal there to do that. A law enforcement source said Nashbert Smith, a black gentleman in New York, repeatedly swung the dog by its leash against a wall, then choked it to death on Wednesday afternoon. Smith, 28, was busted just after midnight Thursday at his apartment. The suspect, Mr. Nashbert Smith, is a registered sex offender, naturally, and he's being held on bail for the murder of this dog. Eddie said this guy would make a good Southern Baptist minister. Diamond Smith, Nashbert Smith's wife, called the police when the man went berserk on her Jack Russell Terrier. Expletive the dog, he told his pleading wife as he choked her pet to death. When the cops arrived, they found the apartment hallway and kitchen splattered with blood. The dog was dead. You know, the only thing is, you know, we're seeing the egalitarian movement take over. You know, now it's taken over the churches. Luckily for Nashbert Smith, we haven't got to the point yet in America where plants and animals have the same civil rights as humans. Because if we did, he'd probably face at least 20 days in jail for killing the dog. Or he might not face any in jail if the prosecutor was a racist. But anyway, we aren't quite there yet, so he'll probably have to pay a little fine for butchering this dog. But anyway, we actually got a picture of the dog on our website, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Not of his corpse, but of what the dog would have looked like alive. And a picture of the mugshot of Nashbert Smith. You know, and this is, you know, these are the people that these churches want in there. I have a story. It's not up on the website yet. I don't have this story up on the website yet. But it's scheduled to post on Monday. So on Monday, you got to go to thepoliticalcesspool.org, and there you'll read that he was a gracious Spaniard, Ed, as your church calls him. He was an illegal alien. He's in a street gang called the Latin Kings. And so he's a gracious Spaniard. You know, this is, again, this is the people the Southern Baptists are reaching out to. We got a picture of him. Again, it'll be up on the website on Monday. It's like a 30-year-old gracious Spaniard gangbanger. He put a 95-year-old woman in a headlock, dragged her into an alley, and made her perform oral sex on him. 95 years old. He was arrested. So again, you know, very gracious of him to do that. We're going to have a story on that on the website on Monday. But first, before Eddie wants to chime in, we've got a caller who's been waiting very patiently. We're going to get to him, then we're going to get to Eddie, then we're going to get to Winnie the Pooh. You want to hear about what Winnie the Pooh's up to. He's a sexist. Winnie the Pooh accused of sexism. Folks, you can't make this stuff up. But first, Rocky in Florida. Rocky, welcome back to the show, buddy.
Hey, long time no see.
Yeah, it's been a couple of weeks. We've been missing you.
Yeah, I was actually wondering, where has Bill Rowland been?
Well, it's very perceptive of you to mention that. Eddie, of course, has been filling in for both Winston and Bill as a co-host over the course of the last few weeks, as people have noticed. I let it be known, there are, as Eddie mentioned, our dear brothers. Winston has had trouble. He was in the Navy working on submarines and had damage to his hearing. At this point, he has he's officially deaf. His hearing has degenerated so much that he can't hear on the phone anymore, so therefore he can't hear in the headsets, and therefore he can't hear what I'm saying, so therefore he can't co-host. Now, he is scheduled to have a cochlear implant in place, and so Winston should be back soon. Bill Rowland, I don't want to get into the details with it because it's a personal matter, but Bill Rowland has been diagnosed with a very serious illness, and he is taking some time off the show. I can just tell you that he is taking some time off due to medical reasons. Both he and Winston are kind of enduring different hardships right now, and so that's why he hadn't been on the show the last couple of weeks, to make a long story short.
Right. Okay, next quick topic. You know, we were talking about how the churches were getting perverted by cultural Marxism. And next, I got to wonder about one thing. And it's that you know, we all say it's just a matter of time, quote unquote, before gay marriage become legalized. And I got to wonder,
right,
will churches get charged with a hate crime if they refuse to marry someone, you know?
Well, that's a good question, Rocky. I'll tell you, I doubt they'll get charged with a hate crime when the day comes, not if, but when. And it will come because we have such spineless people in our ranks. And that, of course, I'm not indicting the listeners of this show. The listeners of this show are supporting one of the few organizations that are out there fighting on the front lines of this culture war without retreat, surrender, or apology. But, you know, the day will come when gay marriage is the law of the land because our people won't stand up and speak out. And when that day comes, I don't think the churches will have to worry about being indicted with hate crimes because of their opposition to gay marriage, because they will just trim themselves further. They will trim themselves further, and they will embrace it. You know, people, if you would have told me 20 years ago that the churches would be advocating for amnesty for illegal aliens and advocating lawlessness, that's against the law. That's a felony to aid and abet an illegal alien. And now they're doing it. You know, Bellevue Baptist Church, we were talking about that. It's the largest Southern Baptist church in the world. 10 years ago, a decade ago, before, when they had Adrian Rogers, who was their founding pastor, he refused to marry interracial couples at that church. He said it was a matter of principle, it was a matter associated to his faith, and he wouldn't do it. And now Bellevue is not only doing that, but everything else that we're talking about, and it won't be long until all of these churches embrace homosexual marriage because it's just the logical progression as far as they're concerned.
Right, right. The reason why I bring that up was, you know, I was... most of my stuff I just watch on YouTube because, you know, nowadays CNN and anything on the television is just so bad. But this was quite bad, too. Basically, ABC did their quote-unquote what-would-you-do scenario, you know, that they put on publicly. What happened was they had an actor basically acting as the father of this kid who came out of the closet in public, you know. And they put his character over the top. They showed him yelling loudly and that kind of stuff, you know. And, you know, my thoughts on it are, if that ever happens in public, first thing I would do is go up to the father and shake his hand. Because the first thing is the son is being selfish for putting his father in that position, you know, bringing all that attention by coming out of the closet,
right,
in a public place. And the second thing is, quite ironically, well, the first thing is you can't separate a person from their politics, their values, their opinions, and their upbringing.
Right.
Well, the fact of the matter is his father who raised him, you know, well, first off, his father has certain values, and so does the son. But the point is you can't really separate the father from his values. You can't expect him to have one opinion on one thing, and then when you disagree with him, expect him to segregate his values altogether, you know? And
yeah, you bring up good points, Rocky. I want to ask you to hold on, my friend, because we got to take a commercial break, and we've got a lot more ground to cover tonight. But I want to thank you for the call, and I want to tell you, if you can, call back in next week, because I really do appreciate the commentary you bring to the show. You make some very, very good points, and it's very reflective of the intelligent audience that we have. Stay tuned, everybody.
Get on the show and express your opinion in the political cesspool. Call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, everybody. I want to thank Rocky from Florida for calling in. And like I said, I mean, Rocky, I'm in a privileged position because I get to read the kind of emails and letters and receive these calls on the show from our listening audience, and I can tell you how intelligent and well-spoken that our audience is, and Rocky's very reflective of that, and we're lucky and fortunate to have people like him listening to this show and supporting our work. Eddie the Bobbiter Miller and I, in talking about some of the last couple of stories we covered on the broadcast, the fellow up in New York who killed the dog, the Hispanic guy who sexually assaulted the 95-year-old woman, the story in Washington State, where a convicted black murderer was set free because a judge thought the original prosecutor was racist. That led Eddie and I during the commercial break to get into a conversation. And this is something, one of the flawed arguments, particularly when you're talking about sexual assault. And Eddie and I were talking about the Hispanic guy in New York in that article. People will say, well, white people do it too. You know, white people do it too. Well, is that really true? I mean, no doubt. I mean, there are good people of all races. You know, people sometimes get the wrong impression of this show because we deal with stories that are so rooted in fact. People think that we're flying off the hinge. Well, keep in mind, everything that we talk about on this show is backed up with, you know, very mainstream newspaper, magazine, television program documentation. We always list references to back up our stories, and so on and so forth. But at the same time, we know, yes, there are very good Jews out there. There are. There are good black people out there, Christian blacks that you know, don't buy into all of this stuff. There are good Hispanics. Okay, we don't have to prove that we're right on that by issuing out that disclaimer every time we speak, although we do take the time to mention it just to be fair. Now, that being said, when it comes to rapes and violent crimes, and this is what we're talking about with this guy up in New York, the United States Department of Justice statistics, the number of white-on-black rapes are so negligible, it doesn't even show up. It happens so rarely, it's insignificant when it comes to documentation. It happens so rarely, it doesn't happen at all. But black-on-white rapes, on the other hand, well, thousands and thousands a year. 30,000 a year, something like that. Eddie, and this was something you were going to bring up, the whole, well, white people do it too argument that liberals and, I guess, Southern Baptist pastors would bring up against us now.
That's right. And going back to Southern Baptist preachers right quick, like my own pastor, you know, and when he's always talking about how God made blacks, he made browns, he made yellows, he made this and that, and, you know, we should love them, and but he never brings up I've never heard him say, and God made whites too, and he loves you just as much as he does as these other races. All right, now getting back to what James is talking about, as a lot of people know, I'm 64 years old, and I've had quite a bit of worldly experience in my time. I grew up in the mean streets of South Memphis. I'm sure most of y'all have heard me say that tonight. And we're talking mega mean, folks. I'd sleep with a shotgun in my bed, had to have a 38 Smith & Wesson under my pillow, couldn't get out on the porch at night. I've been in the military, I've been in the army, I've been at Fort Polk, I've been all over the country, been overseas. In every single case now, I've heard people say, when I bring up these atrocities, like, you know, the gang rapes, we had a case down in Mississippi about 15, 20 years ago where there was a house was burnt down to try to conceal the evidence where blacks broke in and raped the mother and molested the little 9-year-old girl. They tried to burn the house down to cover up the crimes. In every single case like that, it's happened to me personally in my life, my own anecdotal evidence, to me and my wife, it's always been blacks. It never has been white. You see the Mexicans doing it right here. Now, James mentioned the Latin Kings. It's in every single case that I've ever been personally connected to, it has not been whites. All these newspaper accounts we read, even the so-called celebrities like O.J. Simpson, last time I checked, O.J. was not white. But, James, I'm sick and tired of people trying to excuse this barbaric behavior. They think all they got to do, James, is say, well, I'm sure somewhere out there, somewhere in the world, Germany, Russia, somewhere, whites done it too, when they know in their heart, all 90% of this crime is committed by non-whites, James.
Yeah, Eddie, I want to take your lead on that. And it's all about proportion. Yeah. All about proportion. Now, you can look up for yourself the FBI collected Department of Justice facts on this. Yeah, we talked about it last week. You know, what is it? 500,000 rapes per year in the Congo. 48 women every hour in the Congo are raped. Well, That's not happening in France or Russia or Germany or Finland or Sweden or Norway. It's not happening. But 48 women every hour raped in the Congo. And that, you know, goes back to here. It's all about proportion. Yeah, you know, yeah, white people commit crime too. But it's normally not the violent crimes that get all the press. You look up the, again, Department of Justice statistics. You know, white people commit rapes against blacks, I think, less than 100 times a year, if I'm not mistaken, whereas it's tens of thousands of black-on-white rapes are reported and investigated. Keep in mind, folks, that blacks represent 13% of the United States population. 13% of the United States population and over 90% of the rapes. That's what we're talking about with regard to proportion. And that is why I think it does everyone a disservice, blacks included, because they need to be held accountable. They don't need to be coddled. You don't coddle a kid for breaking the rules. You discipline them. You punish them. Blacks need to be punished. You know, people committing rapes, I should say, need to be punished. That's who needs to be punished. They don't need to be given welfare. They don't need to be given set-asides and affirmative acts. You know, they need to be held accountable, and we need to be mature enough and grown up enough to have adult conversations about race. And that's what you find here on the political cesspool. We don't get on here to ridicule other people. We get on here to talk about the facts. You know, that's a subtitle of our show. Race, politics, and hypocrisy in 21st century America. This is what we talk about on this show. Now, I told you we're going to get into Winnie the Pooh. We're going to get off some of this hardcore, depressing stuff. We're going to talk about Winnie the Pooh. Yeah. Winnie the Pooh could very likely join the hate watch list here soon, Eddie, because it has been determined that Winnie the Pooh is a sexist. I don't guess he can be a racist because he's yellow and he has Eeyore as a friend who's purple and Piglet is a friend and he's pink and Tigger's a friend and he's orange. So I guess they can't. He's got some black stripes. So I guess technically Winnie the Pooh can't be a racist, but he is a sexist. And here's the story from the Daily Mail over in London, big publication over there. Children's literature is inherently sexist because the majority of heroes are male, a new study claims. See, a university funded a study to look into this. So apparently what they did is they went through children's literature and they counted the number of male characters versus the number of female characters, and somebody got paid to do this. Some liberal feminist, radical feminist professor got paid. Some Southern Baptist got paid to look through this. But anyway, an analysis of 6,000 best-selling children's books published during the past century concludes that male characters vastly outnumber female ones. And you got to read this. We got it up on our website, Winnie the Pooh is Sexist. Check it out at thepoliticalcesspool.org. Thepoliticalcesspool.org. Go to the website tonight. In such tales as Peter the Rabbit, Winnie the Pooh, and the Fantastic Mr. Fox, they're all male. And it says it's just been a literary diet of too many Tiggers, with a T, Tiggers and Toads, makes youngsters believe that they are growing up in a man's world. Lead researcher Janice McCobb of Florida State University called the trend inherently sexist, and that this persistent pattern of disparity among animal characters may reveal a symbolic annihilation of women disguised through animal imagery. And Eddie, you know, the sad thing is that these accusations are no more silly than the thousands of false accusations of racism that we're subjected to each day. But every time I read Winnie the Pooh, I never really saw that it was just a vehicle for the symbolic annihilation of women. But so it was, Eddie. And if you want to see a picture of the symbolic annihilation of women, we got a picture of Winnie, Tigger, Piglet, and Eeyore at thepoliticalcesspool.org. Look it up. We got to take a break. Oh, man, what are they going to come up with next?
We got to get out of this place. If it's the last thing we ever do, we got to get out of this place. Girl, there's a better life for me.
Welcome back. To get on the political cesspool, call us on James's Dime, toll-free at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
It's hard to believe that we're here at the final segment now, but I want to cover two more quick stories as fast as we can. Eddie was talking about the argument that we always get, well, white people do it too. If you watch commercials and you watch movies, whites are the only people that do it. You know, if you ever turn on a TV movie, the white people are always the bad guys, and the world's got to be saved by a black computer engineer, or in Independence Day, you had a black fighter pilot and a Jewish computer programmer, Jeff Goldblum and Will Smith. They saved the world. Anyway, Winston Smith put up a good – he can't hear right now, so he can't join us on the show, but he's certainly been blogging a little bit with me at thepoliticalcesspool.org. And he's got just one of countless of examples from Brinks Home Security, and it shows a white guy breaking in this house and trying to steal something. But he also has for you a real-life incident. From Oakland, California. You might not have heard the story, but police are searching for a man that they say sexually assaulted a woman after she used her cell phone to record the suspect burglarizing her Oakland, California home. Ladies and gentlemen, what I'm telling you is, you got the Brinks Home Security commercial that shows a white guy breaking into the home. It's just not typical to reality. In real life, we have an example in this same post of a white woman in Oakland, California who videotaped, and the videotape is up on this website. You can watch it for yourself. Videotapes the black guy breaking into her home. She didn't, or at least we don't have the video of him raping her, but that happened shortly thereafter. She was able to use her phone to record that. And again, though, if you rely on the mainstream media to give you your daily bread, you're just going to think that's shocking that blacks actually commit crime. Well, they do. Yeah, Eddie said she was probably racist for even taking the video. Now, real quick, before we get to Peter Scoop Stanton, old Scoop's on the phone, Eddie. We'll let you talk to him in just a second. He is a correspondent with the show. The last week, we mentioned the Dallas Mavericks won their first NBA championship. Well, it's been a very busy week since then for some of the heroes, our heroes in the National Basketball Association. First of all, Deshaun Stevenson, and if you go to our website, Eddie, come here. Eddie hadn't seen this yet. I want you to look at his neck and tell us what he has tattooed on his neck. Eddie's got to get out of his glasses. Deshaun Stevenson of Dallas was arrested for public drunkenness. Well, who does he have tattooed on his neck?
It looks like, is that Grant?
Close.
Lincoln?
That's it. Yeah, he has a big tattoo of Abraham Lincoln on his neck. I don't know what that's about, but nevertheless, Deshaun Stevenson, who actually won a championship, he was a member of the Mavericks. He got a big tattoo of Lincoln on his neck. You can go check that out at thepoliticalcesspool.org, too. Listen, we got a lot of pictures and videos on the blog now. And he said he has his IQ tattooed on his neck, too, 55. It's there. He was arrested for public drunkenness this week in Dallas. Also, Shaquille O'Neal. We all remember Shaquille O'Neal. He retired. Another Rhodes Scholar in the NBA retired this week. But nevertheless, he is in the middle of an investigation involving a sex tape, kidnapping, and robbery. And finally, Nate Robinson of the Oklahoma City Thunder got arrested for urinating on a library. So just in a week, our heroes in the NBA, two of them arrested for drunkenness, one arrested for peeing on a library, and then Shaq is in a kidnapping, robbery, and sex tape triangle. So these are our heroes, Ed.
Once again, James, I must chime in. I'm sure white athletes have probably done this before, James, but in every single case I have witnessed in the past 20, 30 years, where it's the they're never whites doing this. Like at one time when, University of Tennessee had so many felons on their team, they said they were going to start giving them five numbers on their uniform. You know, it's for some reason, the Anglo-Saxons just ain't there. The honkies just ain't there, James.
Yeah, and that's racist too, because we are being left out of our proportion in the criminal pie. I feel as though we're being excluded there. So we gotta. Yeah, I don't know what we're gonna do about that. We're gonna get that settled. Scoop, Peter Scoop Stanton on the line now. Sometimes correspondent with the show. Although I told you, Pete, we got to get you on more often.
Yeah, well, I got a couple of minutes at the end of the workday to give you a call because I know I'm short on time, but better than no time at all.
That's the way I say it. Hit us hard, Pete.
Okay, well, it's been a hell of a week here in Washington, D.C. Anthony Weiner, who could have been Senator Weiner, mayor of the city of New York, and possibly the first Jewish president, resigned after a mishap.
Yeah, Anthony Weiner was roasted.
Right, and the vast right-wing conspiracy was not to blame. The media was not put to blame. The only thing Mr. Weiner has to blame is his own manhood for getting him in trouble.
Wait, Pete, you got to. Oh, I'm glad you're talking about this. I'm glad you brought this up because we would have let the time elapse tonight without us covering this. But yeah, Anthony Weiner, the Weiner roast. I'm sure you've seen this, Scoop, but folks, if you haven't, if I haven't given you, in all the stories we've covered this hour, if I haven't given you sufficient reason to go to thepoliticalcesspool.org, go there to see the video that we've posted along with our article on Anthony Weiner resigning. It's got a press conference there. I don't know how Gloria Allred managed to get in this, but she did. And it talks about some of the emails or text messages, Scoop, that Weiner sent to this porn star that he was talking to. And it's talking about, like, you're not showing my package enough respect. My package is about to get upset with you. I mean, this is the stuff he was doing. Outrageous stuff. You got to check it out. It's all there in the video. I mean, this got more embarrassing by the minute.
Yes, he is. And his so-called speech where he resigned, it's like he was, you know, doing the honorable thing, as he's an honorable man.
Yeah, right. So
when the scandal first came out, he said that he's being hacked, his Twitter account was hacked, he's being set up. However, the U.S. Capitol Police, FBI, and other law enforcement agencies would not investigate on his request. He did not request them. So then it does, you know, the picture does come out, courtesy of Andrew Breitbart and Opie Anthony on XM Satellite Radio, and all hell breaks. But needless to say, Mr. Weiner feels that he did nothing wrong. Everybody else did nothing wrong because he is perfect. He should be the next president of the United States or the first Jewish president of the United States.
Well, don't count him out. He could make a comeback, you know. But I'll tell you, yeah, you mentioned his resignation press conference. You know, he got heckled pretty badly in that. And we have video of that as well, all on the Weiner Roasted Congressman Resigns article at thepoliticalcesspool.org. I can't believe we were about to run out of time without addressing this, as big as a story as it's been. So, yeah, what else you got, Scoop? We got about a minute or two left.
That's all I have. I mean, Weinergate down here is going hog wild. And then, of course, everybody's throwing every Republican GOP candidate under the bus. I'm surprised Chris Matthews didn't try to alleviate some pressure off Mr. Weiner by taking a picture of his junk and Twittering it to Representative Weiner.
I tell you, again, this is another example of you think you've seen it all. And then, you know, here's Anthony Weiner and the Southern Baptist. I mean, this ruling up in Washington State where the convicted murderer set free because the judge said the prosecutor was a racist for saying that blacks don't snitch on other blacks. You know, they continue to exceed our expectations for them in terms of coming up with more and more craziness. Although, Scoop, I got one bone to pick with you since you've called in now. And, of course, again, ladies and gentlemen, on the line now with us is Peter Scoop Stanton, our political cesspool Washington, D.C. correspondent. You ran into Dennis Kucinich a couple of weeks ago, and you didn't book him for an interview. What's up with that?
Well, I didn't want to bother the good representative. By the way, his wife is smoking. I mean, smoking. Anyways, I didn't want to bother the good representative, but I didn't want to get a point across. I could have said, hey, get rid of affirmative action, close the border. But what happened was he was at my place of employment, and I was able to speak to him. I said, can I have a moment of time? He said, sure. And I asked him, I was like, look at the fair tax. If I buy a car for $20,000 under the fair tax, I would pay tax on that $20,000 car. Whereas Bill Gates buys a $20 million airplane he would pay tax on that $20 million airplane. So you could actually see the little rent, the wheel going through his little head. So, oh, okay, I should look into that.
Well, hey, listen, you did your job. You got the message across to a sitting member of the United States Congress. Thank you, Scoop, for calling in tonight. Call in far more often. You've got way too much to offer the show to come in just intermittently. And for everyone else, happy Father's Day, everyone. We love you. God bless you. For Eddie Miller, Bill Rowland, Winston Smith, Keith Alexander, the entire Political Cesspool staff and crew here in Memphis at AM 1380 WLRM Radio, and, of course, our beloved team in Utah. We couldn't do it without the Liberty News folks. They'll never know how truly dear they are to our hearts. We want to thank them tonight and wish them a happy Father's Day with friends and family as well. And for all of you, I think it's been a great show tonight. Thanks for listening to us. Been a pleasure to bring it to you. I'm your host, James Edwards, and I'll see you next Saturday evening right here on the Political Cesspool Radio Show. Good night, everybody.
Thanks for joining us tonight in the Political Cesspool. To learn more about us or to make a donation to keep this program on the air, go to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.